I'll remind you, in our bulletin, you'll notice that I won't be giving an interview on the Dr. Jim show tomorrow morning at 9 because he has changed the schedule for a while, and so it will take place on Tuesday at 9. And you just go to our website, the link there, in order to hear that. Let's prepare ourselves this morning in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the opportunity to name privately to God any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are the mighty, the all-powerful God of the universe. We're so thankful that not only are You mindful of us, but indeed You care more than we can even imagine. You know our every thought, our every move, even the hairs on our head You have counted. So help us to recognize that this life is not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about what pleases us, but about what pleases You. It appears that dark times are ahead, and we need courage, we need knowledge, we need Your power. So we pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate on the message this morning, so that we will be able to acquire those things, of course, through grace. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're on Will America Survive Part 4. Now, some people may think that that's kind of exaggerated. It's a bit of hyperbole. But I don't think so. I think we are in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. In fact, believers who don't recognize that, I just don't know how they can miss it. But the problem is that so many believers don't even know what the angelic conflict is. Never heard about it. They don't know that there is an ongoing battle raging that has been ever since Lucifer decided that he wanted to take God's place. And we are involved in it. Our entire life, every day, every moment, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And so, I don't think that it's exaggerating to say that we need to talk about will America survive or not. The stakes are that high. Last Sunday we saw how the recent Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage affected Christian bakers, florists, photographers, newspapers, Christian ministries, Christian colleges, Christian counseling programs, Christians serving in government, school districts, therapists, adoption agencies, and TV programming, to name a few that we covered. And yet, the powers at B are trying to tell us, well, you just need to forget about it and move on. Well, it's kind of hard to move on when you have to just ignore all the things that are happening. And yet, that's what we are prodded to do. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's kind of an odd question. And don't answer out loud. You might know the answer. But you'll see where I'm going after I ask you this question. What do public parks, fitness centers, swimming pools, beaches, arcades, camps, department stores, gas stations, courthouses, sports stadiums, rest stops, restaurants, and theaters all have in common? I hear some of you saying it. Restrooms, right? Now, I hate to bring up this subject, but it's pertinent. We can't just gloss over things. Every one of those, and I'm sure I've left out some, have public restrooms. We've been talking about how this recent Supreme Court decision, even though it is not the law of the land, we've already talked about that, even though it was unconstitutional, unjust, and immoral, still it's going to affect all the things that we've covered and all of these particular places that we all frequent by necessity. My point is that they may soon be plagued by predators who seek out prey to molest and entice them into their miserable lifestyle. In fact, we've already seen in Houston, right down the street from us, the highway, that there was a great push to make the restrooms, especially the women's restroom, available to transsexuals and transgenders. And if you're a male and you just think that really you're a female, well, you can just go right on in. And very thankfully that has been stymied, at least for the present. But the push is still on to just change all of those things. You see, some people say, well, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. It affects all of this. Here's an example. This came from David Kuplian. Anybody read anything from David Kuplian? David Kuplian in the Whistleblower magazine said the following, quote, Chris Penner, owner of the Twilight Room Annex Bar in Portland, who was fined $400,000 under the Oregon Equality Act for excluding transgender men who dressed as women, had been alienating other customers by using the women's restroom. This was in Oregon. According to Seattle Times, 11 people calling themselves T-girls, these were the guys who were dressed up like women. I guess the T stands for transgender or transsexuals, whatever. Transvestites, I'm not sure. That they, 11 people, I don't know why they didn't say men, but anyhow, 11 people calling themselves T-girls will get the money with rewards ranging from $20,000 to $50,000 apiece. Now, does that not get your blood up? These perverts go into the women's restroom and the owner complains because he's losing business because the customers are complaining. It goes to court and this owner is fined $400,000 and the money is going to the perverts. Now, if that doesn't get your blood up, are you sure you have blood? American blood. Okay, George, if you'll kill the lights for me. Okay. The issue is not about marriage equality, discrimination, or gay rights. They'll say it's all about that, but it's not. It's about keeping our basic liberties. Our basic freedom is at stake. American religious values were the foundation for all of our freedoms, and if Christians are neutralized in America, freedom will vanish from the land of the free. And if you don't recognize that, you don't know what's going on. The current wave of lawsuits by homosexuals on Christian businesses will dramatically increase. What is happening in business today will happen in the church tomorrow. They're focusing mainly on businesses, especially those that are owned by Christians. And once they ravage them, they'll turn to the church, mainly because they're not getting any opposition or very little from Christians, nor those citizens who know right from wrong. All over America, lawsuits against pastors who refuse to marry same-sex couples have already been filed. Did you know that? This is already taking place. The same is true for Christians in various service industries that refuse to cater to homosexual marriages. Militant homosexuals have brought a $70 million lawsuit against two of the largest publishers of the Bible, that would be Zondervan and Tyndale, demanding that the scriptures condemning sodomy be eviscerated. Do you think that this is made up? Huh? This has happened. It's already been filed, a $70 million lawsuit. And what they're essentially saying is, if you don't take out all the things that we don't like in the Bible, referring to sodomy, then you've got to cough up $70 million. Now, this is insanity. I mean, if this could go through, you could go to any publisher who printed anything that you don't like and say, hey, I'm going to sue you for, why not $100 million? Until you change what your publication to what I want it to say. But people don't realize this is already going on. And I said, and I'll say it again, this is just the beginning. This is going to be a tsunami that hits us that, like I said, if Christians don't get a backbone, if they don't recognize that whenever they comply with evil, they're not complying with God. See, you have a choice. It's either or. You either comply with this nonsense and this evil, or you obey God. You're going to obey man, government, or are you going to obey God? That's what it comes down to. Of course, there will be multitudes of Christians and churches who will not hesitate to comply with the unconstitutional, unjust, and immoral dictates of the state. Does anyone even have a doubt that that will happen? It's already happening. Episcopalians approve gay weddings in churches. Up, I don't know if you can see up in the top right here, it says, LGBT couples, under the eyes of God now, welcome to sacraments. And of course, in those sacraments is what they see as the sacrament of marriage. Don't groan, it's going to get worse right now. The vote in Salt Lake City at the church's convention passed the House of Bishops with a 129-26 voice. That's what the AP said. That's not even close, is it? So this is the hierarchy of the Episcopal Church, voted 129-26 to allow this. This is a quote now. We're all included now, said Reverend Bonnie Perry of Chicago. Well, first of all, and don't y'all read on, I see what you're doing. First of all, there's no such thing as a woman reverend or pastor. But as you're going to see, those that have already been reading ahead will see that this is a lesbian woman pastor. She's making a comment on what they said. Now we'll get some more. So Reverend Bonnie Perry of Chicago, a lesbian whose partner is a fellow Episcopal priest. Did you see partner? She doesn't have a husband. In fact, that's something else that we'll get to. That word's going to disappear because it's all going to start being gender neutral now. Not for me, and maybe not for you, but others. So we have the Reverend Bonnie Perry of Chicago, a lesbian whose partner is a fellow Episcopal priest, and in the Associated Press, and this is what they said, quote, for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in our congregation now know under the eyes of God and in every single state in this blessed country, they are welcome to receive all the sacraments, end of quote. The words husband and wife will be removed from wedding services as well as prayer services for marriages. It will be spouse and couples, whatever. They're not going to use those terms. And not only are they not, there's bills already going through. I don't know if any of them passed yet. They may have. That in the courts aren't going to have a suit or be talking about a husband or wife. It's all going to be neutral now, gender neutral. And of course, over time, if this is allowed, then people will start picking up this vocabulary and this these words that are distinct. Husband and wife will essentially disappear from the language if this continues. Those will be, can you believe this? These will be politically incorrect terms. The United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church, USA, also allow gay marriages. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America lets congregations choose for themselves whether or not they're going to allow same-sex marriages. Okay. Hit the lights, George, if you will. Well, I think I might just go on. Let's see. I have printed notes, so I won't have to go back to my computer, and I thought it'd be faster, but I can't get the pages apart. Okay. Go ahead and kill them again. We're going to go on, George. That ought to get your attention. The First Amendment is under attack. Big time, it's under attack. The editorial page editor of the Patriot News in Harrisburg, known as Penn Live Online, tweeted, I don't like saying that word, but I mean, to me, Tweety Bird tweets. But anyway, that's what they say. Known as Penn Live Online, tweeted right after the ruling, that is of the Supreme Court, that the paper would no longer accept or publish opinion pieces and letters to the editor in opposition to same-sex marriage. Now, I don't know if that grabs you or not, but that only violates our four of the five freedoms we have in the First Amendment. At least they're related to it. First of all, we have the freedom of religion. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom of the press. We have the freedom to tell the government that they're doing things wrong. It's called redress of grievances. That's four right there, and we have one more, which is the freedom to peacefully assemble. So in that one comment, boom, you see what that does to the First Amendment. I mean, I thought that the press was to hold the government accountable and be a free exchange of ideas for the people. Whatever happened to the freedom of the press? When did government actions and decisions start dictating what is acceptable speech? By the way, to be fair, they went on in this article and said, I guess they got so much heat that they apologized. And I guess they're going to start accepting these things now. But it shows how the hysteria is pervasive of what they want to do. And probably before long, if they don't get resistance, we'll just carry it out. That'll be what happened. By the way, some of you remember in some of these incidents that has happened across the country in the last year or so, that now they're saying that there are free speech zones. If you want to express yourself, you have to go away from whatever is going on, and they draw a circle out there somewhere and say, here, you can exercise your right of free speech here. Let me tell you something. That is not free speech. Free speech is, well, you heard me say it before, and I'm not just trying to be braggamony. I mean, this free speech is wherever I am. Now, they can shut me up. It might take killing me to do it. But I'm still going to have free speech until I'm dead. That is the free, independent spirit that Americans used to have. Whether they will retain it or not is yet to be seen, but it doesn't look that good right now. The popular culture, the government, the educational establishment, the press, and other institutions have plunged Americans into a full-scale, high-speed nosedive into the spiritual and political abyss. Instead of turning back, America is turning away from God at hyper-speed, and the consequences are ominous. You can just expect that. You know, I'm just amazed that we still are living in a somewhat normal state. And I think that's temporary on the course that we are on right now, as we'll see. We must be honest and ask ourselves a few very important questions. Are you ready to do a little introspection of yourself? There's only three questions that I'm going to ask you. The first one is this one. Who do you trust more, God or government? That's an easy one, isn't it? That's a softball. But the two next two get much harder. You ready for the next one? Who do you fear more, God or government? Oh, I know what you're thinking. I fear God. Yeah? Well, the wolves aren't at the door just right now, are they? But when they are, who are you going to fear more? When you have to make a decision whether to capitulate and cave in and comply with evil and unjust things that come from our government, who are you really going to fear then? Because listen, if you're going to be free, you have to take risks. It's risky to be free and independent because there's always the scoundrels and the jackals and the hyenas out there who want to use you and to turn you away from God. And now it is more blatant, it's more obvious than it has ever been in my lifetime. And it's not just about religion, it's about our very freedoms at stake. Because when the First Amendment is under attack, if they don't get a huge resistance, they're going to continue until it's gone. And when, listen to this, when the First Amendment is gone, America is gone. You ready for the third one? I don't think I'm ready yet. I want something else. You know, I think it was, the days go by so fast, it's a blur, but I look back somewhere this past week. I don't know if I was asleep or if I was in one of those states where you're kind of half asleep and half awake or whatever. But I started thinking about what could happen to this country overnight. If God has ended His grace towards this country, how fast it could change. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, this is America. It's not the America it once was. And God has been very gracious to us as a people and as a nation. But there comes a time when that grace runs out and His wrath is poured out like a mighty stream. And I started nearly getting cold chills just thinking about what all could happen. And this became very real for me. Every Christian, rather than even giving a hint of fear towards the government, should bow in humble obeisance and humility and respect towards our mighty God. And it's not happening. God will not be mocked and He will not be ignored. Keep that in mind, because people seem to be very concerned about what the politicians are saying and what the laws are saying and what the pundits are saying. They're very interested in what everyone is saying except God. So here's the last one. Who will you obey? God or government? It's come to that. And I dare say in the not too distant future, all of us will have to cross that bridge. Who are we going to
obey? Who are you going to serve? Remember Joshua stood up. He says, I don't know what the rest of you are going to do, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And Peter said, we will obey God rather than man. And yet, do you know what the Episcopalians and all these... In fact, I see many, if not most, of the mainline denominations just go right to the left and just forsake God altogether. I've already shown you some that already have. I expect that will be the norm. There will be some Bible churches and maybe even some others that will stand firm. And I don't have a doubt that Country Bible Church is going to be in that column. I don't ever even doubt that in the slightest. That's why I'm preparing you now, so you'll not be surprised in what's coming, and you can prepare yourself and your own soul and have resolve within your own soul as to what you will do no matter what the price. Okay, George, I need the lights now. I'm going to have to go back to my notes because my computer, because my pages aren't cooperating right now. Alliance Defending Freedom attorney Ken Connolly said, quote, it is unassailable that by redefining marriage, the Supreme Court has set up a clash between the asserted right to same-sex marriage and religious liberty. Well, I guess he saw the handwriting on the wall. I mean, I would think that's obvious to everyone, but obviously it's not. He said, quote, I can't think of a situation where this invented right should trump religious liberty, whether they be a public official or a private individual. End of quote. He noted he doesn't expect every court to respect First Amendment religious rights, even though there additionally are federal and state laws protecting religious rights. Now, this is from the Alliance Defending Freedom, and he's the top lawyer, and he's saying, look, I don't expect the courts. Listen to that again. He doesn't expect every court to respect those First Amendment rights. We're talking about attacks on the First Amendment. ABC reported Wednesday that gay marriage advocates were considering seeking penalties for those who disregard them, no matter if that person was exercising his or her First Amendment right to practice a religious faith. Now, this came from the gay marriage advocates. And they're seeking penalties, and it doesn't matter that it's the people who are exercising the First Amendment of their God-given rights to exercise their faith. Sharon Minter of the special rights group called National Center for Lesbian Rights suggested contempt charges be made against those resisting homosexual demands now. One result of the threats is that clerks in Arkansas and Mississippi resigned rather than face the forced issuance of same-sex marriage forms to homosexuals. Some counties have simply stopped issuing marriage licenses altogether. And I say, hooray for them. Listen, why do you think you need a license to get married anyway? Well, because we're all dumbed down, right? We're all mush in the mind. What is a license? It's essentially a permit to do something that would be normally illegal, unlawful, wrong. And yet, just like a bunch of penguins in a line, follow suit. So this is good. I don't know if you recognize that they said government in some places is getting out of the marriage business. And I say, hurrah. Okay, if you'll kill the lights, George. I've got another one here. Let's see. Oh, wait. Give me the lights again, George. Okay, now, I'm going to give you a poem that was written by one of our own. And, bless her heart, where's Ron? Is Ron here? Oh, there you are. I'm looking over here. I don't see. She is here. Okay. This was written by Barbara Barge. And I'm going to read it to you. Go ahead and kill the lights, George. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to show you it on the PowerPoint, because I don't want you reading ahead, and I can't trust you. And I'm not a fast reader. Okay, this was dedicated to Country Bible Church by Barbara Barge. The name of it is just a short poem, but it's powerful. America, Where Are You? Is the name of it, and it was written July the 4th, 2015. I looked up at our flag today. Instead of pride, I bowed to pray. And asked my Lord, what can I do to help America return to you? America, my home, where did you go? I never thought you'd sink so low. Let's blame politics. It's all their fault. The wrongs progressed, and we never fought. We saw it happen and said, oh, well. The wise stood silent while America fell. Oh, God, help our beloved land and take us back where we began. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Barbara. There it is. I'll let you read it for yourself again. Okay, George, I need the lights, I think. Isn't that a great poem? State reactions to same-sex marriage. That's what we're going to look at for a moment. The state's reaction to same-sex marriage, and he says this, by the way, this was in the New American by Celian Duke on June the 29th, 2015. So what he was talking about was the state's reaction to the same-sex marriage ruling, and his summation was, a little talk, even less action, is what he said. Now, this is what I'm giving you are some quotes from what he said in that article. He said, the Supreme Court decision today, conveniently and not surprisingly, follows public opinion polls and tramples on the state's rights that were once protected by the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. Have y'all ever heard about the 10th Amendment before? You have. You're probably sick of hearing it. Well, that's good. Yet while and he's talking about Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana right now, pledged to forever fight for religious liberty, state rights are apparently a different matter. As he said on this past Sunday's Meet the Press while explaining why his state will ultimately issue marriage license to same-sex couples, he says, quote, we don't have a choice. Our agencies will comply with a court order. Now, this, please recognize, this is nothing ill directed towards him. In fact, he seems to be one of the better ones, ones that at least made an initial stand. But before it went very long, he says, we don't have a choice. And I very dogmatically and strongly beg to differ with him. We do have a choice. And there are remedies. We're not going to get to the remedies today, but there are many remedies that we can take. Now, what... you might think this is too harsh, and maybe it is. But this is the headline, the title that I have of this next little section, because we're talking about the state's response to the same-sex marriage debacle, a decision. And I'm going to quote what some governors said. And so I'm just going to read to you this title of this little section that I put in here. And it's entitled, Cowardly Governors Who Are Liars and Traitors. And I don't think that's too harsh. I think it's accurate. And you probably will too after you hear what's coming. Most other governors also made the noise, a little noise about their disagreement with the unconstitutional ruling, but were even more submissive than what Governor Jindal was. I'm not going to give the governor's names because it doesn't matter. I'm going to give the states that they govern. North Dakota, this is what the governor said. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that same-sex marriage is legal throughout the nation, and we will abide by this federal mandate. Now, if you know, if you've been in, heard the first three parts of this, you'll know that when the Supreme Court makes a decision, it is not the law of the land. First of all, how can it be a law anyway? Because only Congress can make law. So when they make a decision, how automatically does it become the law of the land? Furthermore, we have the 10th Amendment, that if something isn't specifically stated in an enumerated power, the federal government can't touch it. This isn't there. So it's unconstitutional and it's immoral and it's unjust as well. But I don't know if these governors either know that and are afraid to act on it or they don't know it. And listen, you think, well, these are governors. These are congressmen. These are representatives and these are senators. Surely they know what's going on according to the Constitution. All I'll say is answering that is that just simply, our president was a constitutional scholar, supposedly, teaching in a university. Tennessee governor said, quote, while his state recently voted clearly on the issue, the Supreme Court, that means they voted to put it as an amendment in their constitution, the Supreme Court has overturned that vote and we will comply with the decision. Missouri's governor. Well, Missouri's governor. It's a major victory for equality, is what the Missouri governor said. I'm not going to tell you what party he's in or who he is. It doesn't matter. But that was Missouri. Arkansas. This is the decision. Quote. Decision goes against the expressed view of Arkansans and my personal beliefs and convictions. I will direct all state agencies to comply with the decision. End of quote. Do you see a conflict there? The people of Arkansas don't want it. He doesn't want it and doesn't agree to it. And yet, I'm directing all state agencies to comply with the decision. Whatever happened to conscience? Remember, to him who knows it's a sin and does not act, it's still a sin. Knows what's right and doesn't do it. But this was even worse, because this is the governor of our good friend, beloved brother, Jim Breitel, Dr. Jim Breitel in Arkansas. And Dr. Jim talked to him personally, and he also added, but you don't have anything to worry about because the pastors and the churches will be safe. Really? Do you have a crystal ball? How do you know that? That comes under the heading of balderdash and blather. just out of thin air. Michigan, important for everyone to respect the judicial process. That was his quote. And I would say that's a true statement as long as they're following the Constitution. As long as it is just and as long as it's not immoral, I agree with that heartily. But we, in God's eyes, are required. It is our duty to disobey any law that is unconstitutional, immoral, or unjust, or we are complying with evil, and God will hold us accountable for it. And that's what's not coming from the pulpits today. Oh, we better comply. Well, we comply ourselves right into God's wrath is what we're doing. I'm not saying we are, but many are. Most are. South Dakota, we are a nation of laws and my state will follow the law. Well, that's what all these churches, the Episcopal Church, this is going to be their excuse. Well, we're just following the law. We're just following orders. That's what every one of the war criminals at Nuremberg said. Well, we're just following orders. We're just obeying the law. And they were executed, and rightfully so. But that's back when people were thinking straight and they had courage and they were moral and they were concerned about what God thought and they had a sense of right and wrong. Georgia. He believes in the rule of law, and that's the same stuff. Now, how about our senator, Senator Ted Cruz? This is what he said. He told NPR that there are many across America who can just ignore it. He said it's tragic that the Supreme Court justices decided in the case to rewrite the Constitution instead of doing their job, which was to interpret the law. And he said it is a sad moment for the court when you have judges seizing authority that does not belong to them. He said the case was brought by parties from four states, but that does not mean that those who are not parties to a case are bound by a judicial order. Hooray! Finally, a governor stands up. Well, this isn't a governor. I'll get to our governor in a minute. But our senator said this. And I applaud him for it, but I'm on weak knees here. Because the pressure hasn't even begun to mount for someone that makes a statement like that. I encourage him, and you should encourage him to stand his ground, but time will tell. How about our Texas governor, Greg Abbott? This was what he said. The Texas Supreme Court's decision is disappointing and legally incorrect. The court mistakenly relied on a technicality to allow this divorce to proceed. Now, he's calling this a divorce because I think he's saying, like, divorce from reality. Supreme Court didn't address the Texas Constitution's definition of marriage, and marriage in Texas remains an institution between one man and one woman. That's what our governor said. As opposed to all that blather that the weak-kneed cowards and political expedient. Well, I better stop at that. This is going on with what our governor said. He said, the Texas Constitution continues to stand as the governing law for marriage in the state of Texas. The state and all political subdivisions in Texas remain prohibited by the Texas Constitution from giving effect to a same-sex marriage or any document recognizing one, including the divorce decree in this state. Again, he's using it as a pejorative there. So I salute him for that. In fact, I wrote him a letter to encourage him and warned him what would happen if he falls from that strong stance. And again, time will tell. And I'll show you that letter sometime maybe. the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, released an opinion that county clerk in his state can essentially ignore. He said that they can essentially ignore the Supreme Court conclusion that issuing license to same-sex duos is mandatory. He said, you can ignore that decision. He cited the clerk's religious freedom. He wrote, quote, county clerks and their employees retain religious freedom that may allow accommodation of their religious objections to issuing same-sex marriage licenses. The strength of any such claim depends on the particular facts of each case. End of quote. So we have at least one Texas senator that's standing his ground. I don't know what the other one. I hadn't got a quote from him. But we have the Texas governor and we have the Texas attorney general standing firm at the present time. Now, I have no idea if they're going to crack. And they need our prayers. We need to be praying for them as well. When Attorney General Ken Paxton said this, he was immediately blasted on the leftist interest at this is a organization Think Progress, a statement from attorney Neil Lane, who represented same-sex duos, said the advice was legally the Attorney General's advice was legally deficient, suggesting perhaps that there is an attitude in the left that is willing to simply bulldoze over the First Amendment's religious rights. This was a guy at the Think Progress, Neil Lee, who says that's what they're willing to do. I mean, they're coming out and telling us. They're not beating around the bush. This is what they want to do. Some of you probably recognize Senator Rand Paul, who's the son of Ron Paul. And he said this. He's a senator from Kentucky, and he says, he wants to remove the government from marriage completely. He said perhaps the time has come to examine whether or not government recognition of marriage is a good idea for either party. Since government has been involved in marriage, they have done what they always do, taxed it, regulated it, and now redefined it. It is hard to argue that government's involvement in marriage has made it better. In fact, also not surprising to those who believe government does little right, he said. Paul pointed out that some states are beginning to understand this and they are beginning to get out of the marriage licensing business altogether. So there are little places, little pockets where people are standing up and doing things right. This is from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham said, our nation will not like what's at the end of this rainbow. Go ahead, you can applaud him if you want to. Daniel Horowitz is at the Conservative Review said the Supreme Court has threatened the nation's foundational principle. He said, quote, we have seen the court redefine statutes. We have seen the court redefine the Constitution like they did with Obamacare and Roe versus Wade. But now we witness the court go a step further and void our natural law, the very foundation on which the Declaration of Independence was constructed, the document that asserts fundamental rights and liberties. In case you didn't know it, when he's talking about natural law, he's talking about the law that is authority over the entire universe, and everyone on planet Earth is to submit to it. It's God's law. It's called natural law. And that is what this country was founded on, not a bunch of choking regulations and statutes and codes and nonsense. And he said that's what was attacked in this decision. He said it is traditional, it is irrational and illegal. He said of the majority opinion written by Associate Justice Anthony Kennedy. He said, they say there is a fundamental right to abrogate the laws of nature that God has established and fundamental rights in the first place. This is what he said. And in Alabama, two probate judges have pulled the plug on weddings altogether. Probate Judge Wes Allen, who issues marriage licenses in Pike County, Alabama, said this statement, quote, "My office discontinued issuing marriage licenses in February, and I have no plans to put Pike County's back into the marriage business. The policy of my office regarding marriage is no different than it was yesterday." Friday's Supreme Court decision, Judge Allen argued, didn't void the American law that says marriage licenses may be issued by the judge of probate. May, not will, in the state. Similar proposals are developing in Texas and Louisiana. There's some good news out there, isn't it? And they need support. But they're being drowned out by the media, by the press. Some people call them now prostitutes. Do y'all still have maybe 10 minutes left in you? Because it's time to stop right now. But if you want 10 minutes more, that's really not fair. I mean, he's going to say, "No, let's quit." Okay, we'll go a little bit further. Because what we're going to now certainly has everything to do with what we've been talking about here. Okay. Cut the lights, if you will, George. Okay. All state governors take an oath which includes allegiance and obedience to the U.S. Constitution. I don't know if you knew that. The Texas governor's oath of office says the following. "I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the duties of the office of the state of Texas and will do the best of my ability, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of this state, so help me God." That is typical for these states' constitutions. Not only must they obey the U.S. and their state constitutions, they must not obey or tolerate any unconstitutional law or any governing official who breaks their oath to the Constitution. That's not usually said, but that goes in with their oath. Any governor who complies with the two recent unconstitutional and immoral Supreme Court decisions breaks his oath of office. The following oath is taken by all federal employees. So this would be our federal representatives and our federal senators and so forth. This is what they do. In fact, it's taken by all federal employees. And this is what they say, what it says. "I," you fill in the blank your name, "do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I make this obligation freely without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God," is what they swear. Listen to this now. "Any governing official who breaks his oath or her oath to the Constitution has lied under oath, so they have broken the law." What do you call someone who breaks the law? A criminal or an outlaw. "They have failed to support and defend the Constitution and the people from domestic enemies. And worst of all, they have offended Almighty God." Let me just throw the anchor out here for just a second. Today, it's everyone knows that politicians lie, don't they? I'm not saying that they all do, but if there are any that don't, they're very few in number. And we just take it as if, oh, well, that's the way things are. And when they are doing things that are so blatantly obvious, that are unconstitutional, and they're unjust, and many times they're immoral, they're criminals. Because they put their left hand on the Bible, and they raised their right hand, and they took a solemn oath to the people and to God, and they broke it, and so they lied under oath. And that's a crime. And yet we just dismiss it as, oh, well, it's just the way things are these days. Here's the president's oath of office. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, he doesn't say, so help me God. I think maybe some of them have added that. This is, by the way, in the Constitution, the oath that is required of the president. But he does put his left hand on the Bible and raises his right hand towards heaven when he makes an oath. Now, I would say that is making an oath to God as well. And when we were looking at this part here, where every federal employee is to not only abide by the Constitution, but they are to protect it, when they protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Listen, when they are defending the Constitution, they are defending us. And when they don't defend the Constitution, and they break the Constitution, they are criminals, and they are the enemies of liberty. And they should be treated as such. And this is the way it works, is when you have a massive amount, like the governors that I'm talking about here, that are, oh, well, we're going to comply, all this. They've broken their oath. They're not upholding the Constitution. If the people don't hold them accountable, then the people are going to get what they deserve, as we will see. So if the Supreme Court wants to just go off the tracks, then we have the governors who should interpose themselves between us and the people. If the governors don't do it, then the mayors should do it. If the mayors don't do it, then the sheriff should do it. By the way, the sheriff is the highest law official in the county, not the district attorney. District attorney is appointed, the sheriff is elected by the people. And he can keep anyone from coming into his county. I don't care what agency they have, what alphabet soup they represent, or how many of them they are. Once they start to impose on our God-given rights, the sheriff has the responsibility and the duty to come in and say, not in my county you won't. If you try it, I will arrest you. I'll throw you in jail. If he has the backing of the mass of people behind him, no one's going to touch him. This is crazy talk, isn't it? Whoever talks like this anymore? Whoever brings these things out? Well, hardly anybody has been, and that's why we're in the shape we're in. And when we lose our civil freedom, our religious freedom is right behind it. Well, I'm already past time. Thank you, George. Just as a preview of what where we're going to, I think I'll just show you this. This is what where we're going to start next time. If you're interested, kill the lights, George. Are y'all getting blinded? Oh, I got to hit this, don't I? Not coming on. I wasn't supposed to go down to that one there. Is there anything we can do? Are you interested in that? All right, then show up next Sunday. Now you can bring on the lights, George. Okay. We're going to close the service like we always do by having everyone to please bow your heads and close your eyes, because these are very important issues for sure, but the real issue in this life is what think ye of Jesus Christ. The reason I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes is because we have complete freedom here. No one's going to look at you. No one's going to ask you to raise your hand, walk an aisle, or anything. You need to take this very special time to focus on this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross, died for your sins, in fact, the sins of the entire world. He died, was buried, and was resurrected, and now He offers eternal life to anyone, who will trust Him and Him alone for it. The moment that you put your total trust in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross rather than your own, you're born again, you become a royal family member of God, and now you have the high honor to represent Jesus Christ as an ambassador on this wicked earth, on this wicked planet, so that we can glorify Him. Now, Father, we're so thankful that You are our God. You are righteous and You are just. And we pray that You will help us to learn and grow in Your Word and in the history and the documents of our country so that we can represent You well, the God of freedom, that You will give us that courage that we need when we falter. We thank You for all of this and pray it all in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.